American Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. I'm your host, Gary Holt, and joining me is my co-host and trail partner, Tina Mae Weber. Tina Mae, how are you tonight?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am doing fine. We have survived some stormy weather here in Tennessee, but we've got a great show lined up tonight. And tell us who we have joining us.
Well, first we're going to have the chairman of Backcountry Horsemen of America, Jim McGarvey. And then we travel to New Berlin, New York at Pure Country Campground with Jim Weidman.
All right, and then we'll be playing trail trivia for a gift pack of all-natural grooming products from Hispania Silk. And we'll also be announcing the winner of the Legacy Club's monthly drawing for August. So we've got a lot coming up on tonight's show, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Jim Garvey, McGarvey, on Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-ay, I go my way. Back in the saddle again. I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-ay, I go my way. Back in the saddle again.
Well, Jim McGarvey is chairman of Backcountry Horsemen of America and an old friend of ours now. We've been enjoying a relationship with Backcountry Horsemen of America for just over a year now, Jim. It's been a pretty quick year.
It has. I remember, we had some past chairman on, a group discussion. Yeah, it's been fun, Gary. Really glad to participate with you.
Well, love having you on. Always, always interesting and great information. And so I wanted to say welcome to the show, because this is the start of a new time for Backcountry Horsemen. And we're just happy to have you. And Tina Mae, you want to say hi?
Hi, Jim. Glad to have you.
Thank you, Tina Mae. Good to be here.
Well, you know, it's this week, and I think it's tomorrow, actually, is the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act, and that's kind of a special event that's going on with activities across the country. And can you share a little bit about that? And I guess why is that important to us as trail riders?
Well, we've had, I think it's important to us as Americans, whether we ever go into the wilderness, might just stay, you know, in New Jersey, might be where you stay and you don't go out west, or some wildernesses in the east, but just knowing it's there, it's important. But as you said, it's the 50th anniversary. It is tomorrow, and Lyndon Johnson signed it. It took about 20 years. It was introduced in the 50s, the bill, and so it wasn't overnight, rewritten a bunch of times and for various reasons. But in the Wilderness Society started in the 30s with Howard Zannheiser, and he was the main motivator of the Wilderness Act. But I've got a quote on the wall here. It's not. There's a lot of great words in the Wilderness Act, and, of course, a lot of great words have been spoken, but Lyndon Johnson kind of said it in a proletarian way, but maybe in a way that we can all relate to. The plaque says, if future generations are to remember us with gratitude rather than contempt, we must leave them a glimpse of the world as it was in the beginning, not just after we got through with it.
Wow.
It kind of hits home, like, you know, geez, you know, did I leave it that way, or when my last trip in the woods, you know, and I clean up the campfire. But it's important, I think, well, for a number of reasons. One, as I mentioned, just as Americans, just to know it's there, and for the world, folks around the world to know it's there. And America's led the way, you know, it's America's best idea. And the national parks and wilderness that goes with it, because of the over 100 million acres in designated wilderness, the majority is in national parks. About 55% is in national parks than our national forests. And so it's special. The national parks are special places, and the wilderness are special places. And it gives us it raises the bar, sets the standard on how it ought to look. Now, of course, it all can't look like that, and all can't be
right.
Like that. But if you take areas around wildernesses, almost always there's national forests surrounding them. Some are national forests, but they're managed differently. And that's a kind of a bone of contention with folks. There's a whole spectrum. Let me get back to this bone of contention. There's a whole spectrum on how wilderness ought to be treated. There's some folks on the spectrum that think that it ought to be treated as pre-Columbian days, you know.
Right, right.
And then others, to the other end of the spectrum, is that we can't manage it without using mechanical tools. And that's like chainsaws.
Right.
You can't use mechanical tools. You can use a crosscut saw. You can pack in camping equipment, but no really modern instruments. There's some exceptions. There's a landing strip in the Bob Marshall Wilderness because it was grandfathered in, so there's exceptions. But generally you can't use tools enough. Where that becomes a problem on trails is that you can be in a national forest where you're allowed to use chainsaws, and when you get to the sign that says this is the wilderness, you're under a new set of rules, and it can be in bad condition, very bad condition. Just tough to do it with a crosscut saw. Now, I know I've argued with some of my friends that, you know, you can do just as well with a crosscut saw, but it takes twice as many people.
Right.
So, and you can't do. I mean, I'm crosscut saw certified. It wears you down faster than a chainsaw, but that's the way it's done. And within our own organization, you go to Montana, and they're almost completely all the members are believers in no tools in the wilderness, you know, keep it the way it was done with the historic tools. And our other states are saying, you know, we don't need any more wilderness because this, you know. So we've got our own bit of a spectrum within us, and I think all organizations do that deal with it. But it's important. It's where you're the peace and quiet and living in a different world when you go there, and it needs to be there. And we've got some in Georgia. Smoky Mountain National Park is managed as a wilderness. But in the case of there, which is a good, interesting example, they allow chainsaws for the 2 weeks in the spring. And there's a lot of trails there to do for the 2 weeks in the spring, but at least it is something that can, you know, be tackled that way. So it's, and then I'll just sum up that the whole year not just tomorrow or in the following weeks in the fall, but the whole year there's been Wilderness Society or Wilderness Act celebrations, and right here in Dahlonega, Georgia, our national forest this Saturday is putting on a Wilderness Day on the town square, which is the old gold mining town here in Georgia, and for speakers and that, you know. So every public lands organizations are having their events throughout the year, and the big one coming up in Washington is the Wilderness Week conference, October 15th to 19th.
All right. Well, you know, and there was something that you mentioned earlier, Jim, and again, you and I are back here in the eastern part of the country. Tina May is back in the eastern part of the country. We've got listeners that are all across the United States. And there is a difference in who manages what public lands.
It is.
Who is the largest manager of our public lands?
The Bureau of Land Management, which there's not a whole lot here. There's a few in the eastern, but they're just small, exceptional spots. They're taking off the top of my head, they're about 245 million acres. Forest Service has about 190 million, and the Park Service something less than that. And it all adds up to something over 500 million acres. But it's the Bureau of Land Management. So there's large swaths of the West that I think Nevada is 78% not owned by people, property. And that has the pros and cons, too, you know, of course, with each state. But so the East, the big swath of public lands starts a bit north Alabama, runs through north Georgia, and then starts catching southeastern Tennessee, then all the way on up through Virginia. So that's there's about 3.5 million acres in national forests among the several states down here, and there's even a bit in Mississippi, and some really beautiful land, rugged land, and some wilderness areas too. Georgia has the largest wilderness east of Mississippi, the Cahuta Wilderness, which is something over 50,000 acres, and then if you step across the state line, it's a trail up there. It's the Big Frog Wilderness in Tennessee, and but it's the various agencies. The Bureau of Land Management, while they're the biggest landowner, only owns 2% of the wilderness land. And there's probably a lot of places that could be wilderness. Consider Wilderness Bureau Land Management, but it's just doesn't get that attention designation. So.
Right, right. Well, one of the questions that we want to talk about tonight, and I hope we have callers that will actually call in and express their opinions on this, but this is a question that you and I have talked about once before.
Yeah.
And that question is, is being able to ride on America's public lands a right, or is it a privilege? And who was it that, I think you told me, one of the former founders of Backcountry Horseman posed that?
Well, I posed it to him because it happened to me when I was in 2006 and 7, the local chapter president here in North Georgia, and they were going to constrict is even a better word. Horses just to trails. And I had asked the forest supervisor, now, you're saying that if I step off of the trail, you know, my horse steps 1 foot off the trail, that it's $1,000 fine. And he says, well, yeah, reading the regulation, it would be. So, anyway.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, that's the way it reads. And so the proposed regulation would have read. And so it became a discussion with the horse riders in Georgia. I asked everybody to, you know, to send cards and letters and emails to Johnny Isaacson, our U.S. senator, just picking one person. And people got upset with me, kind of mean emails, but philosophical, but most of them, that, you know, Jim, you're upsetting the Forest Service, they're going to be mad at us, and they're going to take away our privilege of riding horses because you made them mad. And so so when Cindy, my wife and I, we were went to Montana in April to their fabulous state meeting. Their original state is Montana, and they were really formed because of the Wilderness Act and its implications. And so I had the – there's two surviving founders of the four and that actually dreamed up the idea of backcountry horsemen in the Bob Marshall Wilderness, which was kind of considered the first wilderness with the Act. And I asked Roland, who's a philosopher of this self. I think you probably need to get Roland on this, on the show here.
Well, we ought to do that.
Yeah, he's quite a talker and got his opinions. And matter of fact, he wrote. Well, I brought up. We were sitting around having beer and pizza at up near at one of the founders' houses, and he came over. They live a mile apart. They've been friends for a lifetime, and both in their late 70s and their wives, they credit as much as themselves for the backcountry horsemen being started. And we tossed it up, and we got to talking about it. And Roland, he chewed on it some, and we talked about it and went to see him 2 days later over at his house a mile away. And he started to talk about it again, and it became very important to him because it is a question. I think everyone agrees that the government owns it, but we own the government. At least we think we do. We're supposed to. We did it one time, and maybe we don't or don't. But you know, they work for us. But we need to, you know, respect the land. We just can't ride anywhere. We can't ride through riparian areas or the wetlands. You know, and you have to be respectful of the land. And that both of the founders got to talking about it, and they came to the conclusion that it was both a right and a privilege. And it's a right, but we lose that right if we don't honor it as a privilege by taking care of it. And that's probably right. I think most things in life aren't that black and white at all. I mean, we can own firearms in almost all places in the United States, but we have a right to that, but it carries with responsibility, of course.
Right.
Driver's license. Almost everything we do in society carries responsibility. Getting out of bed in the morning carries responsibility to do it properly, because if not, 911 is going to have to come. 911 is going to have to, 911 will come and have to haul you away if you don't do that right. So, I mean, everything we do has an impact on society. And this does too. So, but it was funny that, maybe in retrospect, we should have seen it coming, but a lot of people thought it's a privilege. A lot of them still do. You know, after I've kind of, argue with them, philosophically. And some are hardcore, it's a right. Roland Cheek, who's the philosophical founder, he then wrote about 4,000 words article, which we had to divide into two parts. And I just realized that it didn't get posted on our website, and that'll change tomorrow. But Roland, his title is Right or Privilege? And and so that was a summer issue of about 2,000 words, and so his second half is coming out in the fall issue. But so you see, at that point, it generated 4,000. Of course, he writes books, but it generated a bunch with that. And I've talked about it in different places, and it probably, I don't know if it settles. It's probably too broad of a generalization to say it's whether you're conservative or liberal in your viewpoint of the world, you know, whether you take it's a right or privilege, but
the
world's more complex than that. But it's something to think of. I think that Roland and Ken Oss, the other founder, probably are right. It's a right, but we've got to work and, you know, to keep it and to honor it. And if we mess up the land, we lose our rights, which we deserve to lose.
Right. Well, we're going to open the lines up in just a minute and see if we have some callers that want to weigh in on that. And I told Tina May to be thinking about that question as well. But we're going to take just a quick break. And let me give our listeners the number if they want to call in. It's 213-943-3396. 213-943-3396, and let us know what you think. Is it a right or a privilege for us to be able to ride on our public lands. But as always, every week we play trail trivia, and it's been kind of fun. I hope that it's not only fun, but it's educational. But here is tonight's trail trivia question. And that question is, who is the first woman to ride on horseback across North America alone? Who is the first woman to ride on horseback across North America alone? And I'll tell you this, she rode 4,496 miles in 180 days. So in our second segment of the show, we're going to take your calls and let you see if you can answer that question. And if you get that right, you're going to win a great gift pack from Hispania Silk All Natural Grooming Products. But we're going to take your calls. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment to talk more with Jim McGarvey, Chairman of Backcountry Horsemen of America, and we're going to find out what Tina May thinks. Is it a right or a privilege? You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. Kristen Harris, Let Me Ride Down Rocky Canyon, and I'm going to repeat our trail trivia question one time for you, and who is the first woman to ride on horseback across North America alone? And, you know, get your computers and your Google and your Bing and Yahoo and see if you can come up with that answer, but who's the first woman to ride horseback across North America alone? And we'll take your answers to that in the second segment of the show. Tina May, you've had a chance to think about this question. Not the trail trivia, not the trail trivia, but the one about rider privilege. What do you think?
Well, Gary, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are God-given rights. And as far as trail riding, when you're talking about on government land, as much as I want to say it's a right, I believe that it's a privilege. However, we as trail riders should have the right to keep this privilege. And I feel the government steps over the bounds and keeps taking away our privileges that are rights to have. We should be able to access our lands, which have been available for a long time. And we have the right to speak up, because it is a privilege, and we have the right to keep that privilege. Because we've got all walks of life, and everybody pays taxes, and everybody that owns the government has their say-so on that government land, and that's where I feel that it's more of a privilege than a right, because even those that may feel differently than you, they have rights as well. And so that's why it's a privilege, and we need to take care of that privilege. But we do have the right to speak up to protect it as well.
Okay. All right. And yeah, and you know, I think one of the things, Jim, maybe that where Backcountry Horseman comes into play is that that's a great resource for people to be able to use to be aware of what's going on and what those challenges are.
Well, it is, and kind of a reply to teammate's point there, which she articulated about which half of my emails were. Variations, but close to that. But where the point gets a little complex is, for instance, let's say, well, I give you several instances right now. I'm in front of my desk, but just take, let's say, a national park yesterday on August, let's say the end of August, horses were permitted to ride on 450 miles of trails. So they come out with a new plan, they're preparing a new plan. Wilderness stewardship plan, what we're working on right now in a couple of national parks, where they're reducing that. So they're taking away the use of it because the hikers don't want us on there. And so
it's happening all over the place.
It's happening all over the place. So the question is, was it a right at the end of August that we could ride on it, but or it's a privilege? I mean, they're taking it away. So is our right to say, you know, we could ride on before? Matter of fact, you tell the hikers there wouldn't even be any trails if it wasn't for the horses.
So, right, right.
So I think that it's – so when we put out our argument, well-written papers and you know, conversations about this with the land managers of the national parks and forests, we base on the historical use of horses, and that's a great phrase. And so the historic use of horses carries a lot of weight, and it almost, it's not the historic privilege of horses, it's the historic use of horses, which, you know, does become a right? You know, a jurist might be able to explain it better, but divide that up, but that terminology. But it's a funny thing. I mean, if it was a right at the end of August, is it not a right on September 1st anymore to ride? We can only ride now 380 miles. And in 10 more years, it's only going to be 210 miles. See, we're losing that privilege.
We need to speak
up. We're not gaining it. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah,
We've got a caller that's called in. Let's and let me check and see. That may be. Hold on just a minute. I believe it is. We've got somebody that's been holding for a while down in Georgia, and I don't know whether that's somebody that's just listening, but let's we've got 706-540. Who am I speaking with? Hello? We've got a caller from Georgia, area code 706, and the first part of the number is 540. Who am I speaking with? Okay.
They were listening.
I think they were just listening on that call. But you know,
my wife's cell phone is 706-540. So, she's calling in.
I think we just scared her off. But
it didn't sound like her. But anyway, so fine.
Okay, all right. But anyway, if you were calling in to listen to the show, that's all right, and you're welcome to do that. You know, that's an interesting point that you make, Jim, is, you know, at what point, if it was August 31st, you know, why can we not ride on the trails September 1st?
Mm-hmm.
And those are issues that we have to deal with, but I think that's another part of, where Backcountry Horsemen has done a good job of working with a lot of different organizations and trail users to try to come to some compromise on use of the trails. And I've got another caller here. Let's see who we have. This is someone calling from area 573-690. You're on Equestrian Legacy Radio, Saddle Up America, and who's calling?
Yes, this is Lori Gilmore.
Well, hi,
Missouri.
Lori.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. Hi, Tina.
Right. Have you got got a question for Jim or a thought you'd like to share on that question?
Both. My question is, I kind of agree with Tina whenever it comes to rights versus privilege. I also agree that as trail riders, we do need to take on responsibility in taking care and being good stewards of the land.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a firm believer, you know, and this comes back to my law enforcement background, is when you give privileges, you can't just take them away. That's where riots come from. And by just taking a privilege away like that, you're going to see the old American spirit, the historical part that you talked about, is going to come out. Horses have been a part of America as long as America has been America. You know, from Columbus's second landing, horses is what has brought us from the East Coast to the West Coast. They are what farmed our land. They are what hauled our wagons. They are what worked our cattle. They are our history. And there seems to be an assault on horses. And listening to Mr. Garvey speak just kind of reinforces that, because he's talking about how, you know, August 31st, you know, here's one right, and then September 1st, we lose those rights, and now it's something else. How do we preserve that? How do we keep our rights? What is going on in this nation that is taking our rights away from us?
Okay.
And I guess that's my big question. You know, and where is Backcountry Horsemen helping us to keep those rights?
Okay, and Lori, thank you for calling in on that. We're going to let Jim answer that, and appreciate your input as well tonight. So
okay.
Thanks so much.
All right,
thanks, Lori.
Okay, Jim.
It's not my pay grade to talk about whether we're losing our rights across the country, but I will talk about what Backcountry Horsemen is doing. We do it in two big ways. One is, We volunteered last year, and the year before, 370,000 hours. That's boots on the ground, hooves on the ground, out in the forest, and keeping trails open. And so that builds a lot of goodwill, and it reinforces, whether it's a right or a privilege, it reinforces the fact that we're doing our part to keep the trails open. The Park Service just got a call about today, and then a couple days ago last week, again, that the director of the National Park Service signed a memorandum of understanding and renewed it with the Backcountry Horsemen, acknowledging our work in all the forests and telling all the Park Service people to work with the Backcountry Horsemen because they're doing the right thing. You know, it's not quite the legalese, that's what it meant. And we have those with the Bureau of Land Management and Forest Service, et cetera. So we're out there. So we do a lot of boots on the ground work. But what we also do, and probably at the national level where I spend time, Randy Rasmussen, who you spoke with, and Gary, we spend, and a lot of our other folks, spend an enormous amount of time on different issues across the country. We're working now with Sequoia Kings Canyon, Yosemite National Park, Bryce Canyon, a number of national forests. They're continually going through 10 to 12-year planning, new forest plan, forest management plan, national park management plan, wilderness stewardship plan. So by congressional dictate, they have to do this and present it as public input. To give our caller a good example is Sequoia Kings Canyon. What happened, what we did, in 2011, the High Sierra Hikers went to the Ninth Federal Court, which is San Francisco, and got the decision to limit, to stop the outfitters of the horses going into Sequoia Kings Canyon because they said the park hadn't done its wilderness stewardship plan properly to take that into account, the horses and all this. So with the Wilderness Society, ourselves, some other groups, our members out in the High Sierra chapter of the Backcountry Horsemen and other groups, and within rapid time, we were able to get Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, Democrat and Republican folks, all jumped on the bandwagon, got a bill passed, the president signed it, and overturned it, giving 3 years' time for the national park, Sequoia Kings Canyon National Park, to do a new plan. And so we immediately jumped on because we have a big fear that these national parks, when one of the iconic ones makes a decision, then the rest of them, it's easier for the other ones to do. So, and I have a lot of examples like that. It's what we do. We're not a riding club. We ride horses, but we're not a riding club. We're a club that's dedicated to keeping the trails open, both by boots and hooves on the ground and ties and suit jackets, that type of work. So that's what we do.
Well, and it's quite a challenge today with the economic pressures, the budgetary constraints that we're faced with in this country to be able to keep those trails open. And and I know it's a fear that if something happens with one national land, it can happen to the rest of them. And we had a situation in Bryce Canyon not too long ago that was concerning to a lot of folks, and so we appreciate the fact that Backcountry Horsemen is involved in helping with those things. And this is kind of like a lot of our shows. We are running out of time. I knew that we could get into this and have a lot of conversation, and that's one reason why we're so happy, Jim, to have you back with us every month, so that we can continue our conversation and keep people abreast of what's going on. I'm going to encourage folks to get involved with Backcountry Horsemen, with other organizations like BCHA, to be aware of situations before they've happened, and to get involved. Mm-hmm. And so Jim has done a great job. I've encouraged people before to go visit Backcountry Horsemen's website. You've done a great job of revamping that, but it's also the efforts that you continue to put forth to help keep our trails open and hopefully open additional trails as well. So, Jim, thanks so much. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Gary, very much.
And look forward to having you back next month. There's no telling what we might talk about. We may continue this kind of conversation.
There's plenty of stuff going on. There'll be a whole new bag of issues coming out. So, all right.
All new topics. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah. Right. Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you, Tina May, and thank you, Gary. Talk to you.
All right. Bye-bye. Talk with you soon. Bye-bye. All right. So a lot to talk about tonight. In just a few moments, we're going to be traveling to New York State and talking with Jim Weidman, who has been patiently holding on the line. And I hope he's found our conversation interesting, because horse trails are his business. And so it's pretty important to him. But let's take just a minute. And we have a legacy club that is available to our listeners and to our friends, and the Legacy Club is free. We have some tremendous sponsors that are providing discounts and special offers to our Legacy Club members, and you can enroll in the Legacy Club at equestrianlegacy.net. But we have just concluded our first drawing for our monthly giveaway, and that was for a beautiful portable fire ring that was provided by The Shop, one of our great sponsors with the Legacy Club. And the winner for this month is Cindy Kern from Ohio. And so we appreciate Cindy listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio and being part of our programming and being involved in that. So our August winner is Cindy Kern from Ohio, and she'll be receiving shortly her portable firing, and believe it or not, with all of this hot, humid weather, it won't be long before it's time to start gathering around with friends and enjoying a cozy fire as well. But anyway, enjoy Jim being on the show. We appreciate Lori calling in, and we encourage folks to get involved. We're going to be talking in just a minute when we come back to Jim Widener with Pure Country Campground in New York. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. Yeah.
Come ride with me. It's time to saddle up right away. There's so much to see. Don't worry, I know the trails, I know the way. I called a gentle horse, his eyes are big and brown. He's ready to carry you the whole world around. Come ride with me, let's ride away. Come take a chance, I'll show you where the mountains touch the sky. It's a horseback dance, and we can ride forever if we try. A dream in the distance, there for you to chase. Out in the sunrise with the wind on your face. Come ride with me, let's ride away. And the smell of the leather, the sunlight on your skin, they've got us aching to begin. The rumble of hoofbeats much stronger than wine. The dust in your hair, the light in your eyes. Come ride with me, I will run the hills and watch the eagles soar. It's where you want to be, so tell me just what you're waiting for. We'll camp near the meadow and we'll love the night away. And saddle up again when the dawn is turning gray. Come ride with me, let's ride away. The leather, the sunlight on your skin, they've got us aching to begin. The rumble of hoofbeats much stronger than wine. The dust in your hair, the light in your eyes. Come ride with me, we'll run the hills and watch the eagles soar. It's where you need to be, so tell me just what you're waiting for. I will camp near the meadow and love the night away, and saddle up again when the dawn is turning gray. Come ride with me, let's ride away. Come ride with me, come ride with me today. Come ride with me, come ride with me, come ride with me. Oh, come ride with me, yeah.
Well, that's Dave Stamey. Come ride with me. And Dave is going to be joining us Thursday on Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe. And we're looking forward to talking with Dave. But right now, we are tickled to death to have Jim Weidman, who is with Pure Country Campground, joining us from New York. And, Jim, how are you?
Good, Jerry. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And let me say thank you for hanging on the line. I know we went over some, but I hope you found that conversation interesting.
Yes, it was very interesting. I mean, we run our trail system up here runs into the same scenario for our equestrians. The trail system closes on October 31st for any of our off trails because our system has what they call truck trails in the middle. Travel all through it. And so the equestrians are not allowed off the trails during after October 31st. But most of our reasoning for that is that our 10,000 acres of trail system here is opened up to hunters also.
Right.
So you run into the hunting season is the reason that we get, it's too dangerous to be out there in the woods on a brown horse.
Right.
Season, you know what
right.
I mean?
I know what you mean. Well, I know that Tina yeah. May is excited to say hi. So, Tina May, you want to say hello?
Well, hello, Jim. Glad to have you on the show.
Hello, Tina. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good to hear you.
Well, listen, tell us, Jim, a little bit about how you got started with your campground and talk to us a little bit about your facility up there.
Yeah, back about 9 years ago, we used to travel all around and, riding the trails all over the country and the camping. And a friend of mine, he used to go out to Missouri to a big place every year. And we got thinking about it and said, why don't we build one in New York? There isn't one quite like ours here, So we got together and got down in the dirt and started digging ditches and burying miles of electric wires and water lines. And we bought some property that's right adjacent on the bottom corner of 10,000 acres of 130 miles of trail system.
Oh, wow.
So that
wow.
is a good plus for the equestrian world,
Yeah.
So then we just, we started out with our hookup sites and water sites and rustic sites. And it all started out, we had outdoor showers. It was the greatest thing in the world the first year. Yeah. We had outdoor showers. And when the girls would go in and take a shower, I'd say, God, I should have left one more board off. But after that, we went on and built we have a big full pavilion now with, a dining area, full-blown kitchen. And a good plus for us up here is we have four bathrooms, fully showers, everything, So that's a big plus up here for people who want to camp with your horse. What's that, Tina?
How many sites do you have?
Oh, I've got a total of 57 registered sites, but I have hayfield sites. So I mean, we can park hundreds, but
wow.
But to have water access or electric and water hookups and everything, there's officially 57 of them.
Wow. Okay. And then you have lots of primitive in the field if they choose to do primitive.
Yes, I have rustic sites that are down in the woods that in the state of New York I have to have potable water access within 100 feet of each site your primitive rustic camping. That's part of our Board of Health system up here in New York. So 2,700 feet away, I've got water lines buried right through the woods, 2 inches thick.
That's great.
Wow, and you do an obstacle course there too as well, don't you?
Yeah, that's something I branched into a couple years ago. I got a 10-acre field that is turned now into an obstacle course, and I run these cowboy races, and they're a real big plus. A lot of people love it. And then the obstacle course is great, too, for just the average weekend camper or the week camper. They are out there trying the water pits and the stairs and the drop bridges and, you know, and stuff to desensitize their horses for hours. They all, everyone loves it.
Oh, yeah, it's fun. It's fun, and it's good. It's good for the horse. It's good for the rider.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody loves the addition of the obstacle course onto our grounds. It's been a big plus. And then the races itself, like next week, this coming weekend, I have my last leg of my year-end races. It's coming up this coming weekend, the last leg for this year. And you save points and accumulate points for year-end awards. Yeah, it's the races. We have six different classes, from lead lines to an open division. And you have the youth, the young kids, and everything. And, you know, you're timed and scored and judged on every obstacle. And we do it's a purse payback of 70% of entry. So everybody
wow.
has a ball. And then sometimes we get some added money to our pots, and it makes it a lot of fun. We get
Jim,
some of the – yeah, go ahead, Jerry.
No, I was just going to ask. You said you've got access to about 10,000 acres and 130 miles of trails. Is that private land, or is that state or national land? And what kind of trails do you have there?
Yeah, it's the New York State Brookfield Trail System. It's the Charles E. Baker. It's in the middle of our state of New York, roughly.
Okay.
And it's four station and horse trails. And they have 130 miles of trails, all mapped out, real well marked, numbered. And they keep them as maintenance as good as you can. I mean, we've had some pretty good storms up through here this summer. Matter of fact, we're under one right now for this evening.
Oh, wow.
Very careful with that. How's the terrain on those trails if we was to go to New York? Do you have a lot of hills, valleys, water crossings? What kind of trails do you have?
Yeah, here we are kind of in the foothills of the Adirondacks. And there's like a lot of rolling hills, and there's like what we call here a ridge. Like you'll ride up over this ridge and down into another valley and crossing a creek usually or something and up over another ridge. And there's a lot of ponds. There's a lot of picnicking areas and stopping areas. You know, so it's pretty well set up. And then I tell my friends that have come in, a lot of people are in the natural barefoot horse world, and I recommend to everyone that rides barefoot to bring a pair of boots, because if you do ride for 3 or 4 days, there's some rocky, you know, there's some hilly and rocky terrain.
For sure. Okay.
Are your...
And you've got pretty scenic views, I'm sure.
What was that? I didn't hear you, Tina. I'm sorry.
I said you have some pretty scenic views, I'm sure, some overlooks and things.
Oh, yes. There's a lot of scenic sites where you can see a long ways. And like I say, our state land, what amazes a lot of people is it used to be all farmland, and the state bought it out years ago, and they replanted it all, and it's all designed to rekindle itself and stay growing trees and stuff for hundreds and hundreds of years to come. And there's cemeteries in the middle. There's rock walls that they built back in years ago when they were farming this land that are just amazing, right out in the middle of the woods. And, you know, they build all these rock walls around their property lines. You can ride through and find the old stone foundations where the little farm used to be, and there's a lot of things to see.
It sounds like a pretty cool place to come and ride. When Tina May said we were going to New York, the first thing out of my mouth was New York City. And most people know that New York is a beautiful state with a lot of farming and a lot of scenery to it. So it's not all New York City, not all Manhattan.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's some weekends you might drive right. You might go down one of my site roads. It might all be from Long Island. I mean, well, you know, we get 80% of my business is mostly out of state.
All right. Well, that was interesting. You know, and we want to take just a quick break. We're going to give folks a chance to answer our trail trivia question tonight. And the number that they can call is 213-943-3396, 213-943-3396. And let me repeat that question for folks. And the trail trivia question tonight is, who was the first woman to ride on horseback across North America alone? The first woman to ride on horseback across North America alone. And you can get a little help if you want to go visit Google or Bing or Yahoo, then you're welcome to do that. But we're going to take your calls in just a moment to see if we can have somebody that answers that trail trivia question tonight. So we want it to be educational as well as a lot of fun. And I think this is a pretty neat question, and we'll give some more details on that in just a little bit. But right now we're going to take a little break, let you call in with your answer for that. And when we come back, Jim, I want to talk a little bit more about your campground and find out more about whether it's a family-friendly type facility and some of the things that you have coming up in the next few weeks there. But right now you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America, and we'll be back in just a moment.
There's a great American hero we all look up to. When the times are hard and chips are down, he knows just what to do. Now a cowboy's got a set of rules that he lives by day to day. If you ask for his advice, he'll more than likely say, if it's a fence, mend it. If it's a dollar bill, spin it. Or it burns a hole down in them jeans. If it's a load, truck it. If it's a punch, duck it. If she's a lady, treat her like a queen. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution, just about anything. If it's a job, do it. Put your back into it. All a little bit of dirt's gonna wash off them grains. If it's a horse, right. If it hurts, hide it. Duck yourself off, get back on again. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life and the songs he sings. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution for just about anything. An old cowboy and a young buckaroo were working, riding fence. The old hand was testing the kid on his skills and his common sense. He said, son, if you've seen three men in a pickup, dressed alike from boots to hat, could you tell which one was the real cowboy just from where he sat? The kid scratched his head a while and then he said, well, there just ain't no way to know. The old hand grinned and then he said, kid, you still got a ways to go. The real cowboy's the one in the middle. He ain't there just by fate. 'Cause first, he don't have to drive, and then he don't have to mess with the gate. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life and the songs he sings. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution for just about anything. He's got a simple solution for just about anything.
That's our friend Michael Martin Murphy's Cowboy Logic, and listening to that, Jim, I just wondered if you had any cowboys up there in New York.
Yes, we do, buddy, and they will be coming in this weekend.
All right. Hey, I want to give some folks a little more clue on this trivia question. The young lady that rode horseback across America, North America, alone, was born in New York. She began her trip in San Francisco, and she ended her ride in New York. And so let us know who the first woman to ride on horseback across North America alone is. And, again, you can call in to 213-943-3396. And we've got a great gift pack from Hispania Silk All Natural Grooming Products that we'll send you if you can answer that question. But, Jim, now that you've got the boards put in those outdoor showers, is this a family type facility that you have there? Do you have a lot of kids that come with their parents to ride?
Oh yes, tremendous, very family oriented. And my outdoor showers are gone now. It's all brand new, your own bathrooms. But yes, we do get a lot of kids, and it's a lot of, you know, the equestrian world is. A lot of times I see the families come, and like the husbands maybe don't ride like the ladies. So the husbands will take the kids to the local baseball Hall of Fame or the soccer Hall of Fame, or, you know, we have a lot of local attractions that, you know, the dads wander off with the kids for the ones that don't ride. But not to tell you, we have got some young little cowboys right up here that ride too now.
All right.
I just had a little cowboy. He was 8 years old. He had this beautiful little pony a week ago. And he's out on my obstacle course, and this pony's only 4 foot tall, and he's out there jumping culvert pipes with his chaps, his spurs and everything. I mean, this little fella could ride.
Oh, that's too cool. That's too cool.
Yeah, we have bring your family dog. Dogs are welcome, you know. We do get a lot of families.
Well, and I think too, it's good to point out that you guys have been listed as a 5-star campground, which is quite an honor. That's not a simple feat.
Yeah, I was a little puzzled of that this spring. I had a big group of girls from Michigan that come, that travel all over the country and ride all the states, and they'd never been to New York, and they put in New York. Horse camping in a pure country campground come up number one with a 5-star rating. I'm not much for the internet world. I play on it a little, but I'm not real computer savvy. But that really amazed me.
That's
great. We worked hard, and everybody comes back because it's just like not leaving home.
Well, that's great. Now give us your website address.
It is www.purecountrycampground.com.
All right.
And if
Pure
you go
Country
on our website,
Campground.
You'll see. Yep. Dot
All right.
com.
Purecountrycampground.com. And you've also got a Facebook page that's Pure Country Campground. So I'd encourage folks to go visit and like that page.
Yep.
And visit the website.
Yeah. There's thousands of pictures, and you'll see our sites and our pavilion and our dining area and everything, and the portable stalls that we have. We have 30 portable tarp-covered stalls we bought years ago. You know, everybody loves it. We have a good time here, and we try to help out the equestrian world as much as we can, because I was born and raised with them. And, you know, I throw a lot of special weekends out because the price of fuel, you know, when you're shipping 6-7 hours, it gets expensive, you know. So I throw out some discount weekends.
Well, that's great. Now, and too, we were talking about as far as families coming in, you mentioned the Baseball Hall of Fame. You're pretty close to Syracuse, aren't you?
Yeah, we're a little south of Syracuse, yep, about 40 minutes southeast of Syracuse. And Cooperstown, we're about 20 minutes away from the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Okay, so for the non-riding family members, there's plenty to come and see if you're visiting a Pure Country campground up there in New York.
Oh, yes, we get a lot of people that come for... You know, we have, there's an antique car museum over here in a little town in Norwich, House Caverns. You know, we get a lot of people come. There's a big Balkville antique thing. It's one of the biggest on the East Coast that is going on here at the end of last month. And we get a lot of people come in and, you know, stay around to go to things like that. They're not even horse related, you know.
All right, that's great, because as families travel, you know, quite often they want to know that there's some other things to see and do while they're there, and maybe spend a week or a little bit longer visiting with you. And tell us a little bit, Jim, about what you've got coming up this month there.
Well, we're starting to wind down our year. This weekend I have my last leg of my obstacle course races. I call them the cowboy races. That'll be Saturday the 27th. I have I'm looking at the calendar. It's the 6th of September.
Okay.
But the 14th, we have a trail trial where you ride out on like an 8-10 mile loop. You'll do 6 obstacles. You'll be scored and judged on them roughly every mile or mile and a half apart. And then we'll eat a big old buffet meal and one thing another and score it up and pass out the prizes. And then I have at the end of next month, I have one of my special, it's called a gas refund weekend, I call it. It's a 50% off weekend to come and ride for 3 days, and you only pay half of the fees, all they'll charge you. And I go way out in the middle of this 10,000 acres, and I set up a chuck wagon situation.
Oh,
and
wow.
And I'm cooking there all afternoon, and people ride in and stop and have lunch and sit down and relax and meet some new friends. And I throw the discount back, and I tell them, you can take that other 50% of savings and put it in your fuel tank. So I just named it a gas refund weekend. I've done it 2 years now, and it, you know, it's great. And you can see, it's, this world's just the price of fuel and stuff. And for us to take our horses, it's tough. So when I can give it back a little, I sure do. I'm glad to, you know. I try to help out everyone I can, because it isn't cheap to travel and have fun with your best friend.
Well, that's great, and I know people appreciate that and appreciate you taking an interest to try to help people out and help them enjoy the horse sport. So that is really cool. And again, the website is purecountrycampground.com. You can visit their Facebook page, Pure Country Campground. Like them. If you're like I am, Jim, you like to have a lot of likes. So we want to encourage our listeners to do that.
We have a lot. We've grown considerably in the last couple of years.
All right.
So
Tina May, do you have a...
Come
you
and
have
join
a,
us.
Tina May, do you have a new place on your bucket list to go?
Oh, you bet. I'm going to have my bucket list plumb full.
So you get your bucket up here, Tina May.
I will have to put that on my calendar, Jim. Thank you.
Oh, gosh.
Because,
well, listen, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because if Tina's out in the show me state, tell her to come to New York, and I will show her.
All right. All right. There's your invitation,
Tina. Thank you.
All right. Well, listen, Jim, I appreciate so much you taking the time to join us tonight and tell folks about Pure Country Campground up there. You sound like a lot of fun. So I expect everybody that comes will have a good time.
They all tell me that when we're out playing live music, dancing under the stars, and if Jim's the entertainment, so come on down.
All right. Well, hey, once again,
thanks, Jim, for being on the show.
All right, thanks, Jim. Good to talk with you. Thanks so much for taking the time tonight.
Yep, and thank you all. And come visit us.
All right, very, very good. Thanks so much for being with us.
Talk
bye-bye.
To y'all later now.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's Jim Widener with Pure Country Campground in New York. And, man, that's another place to put on your bucket list. I think folks would really enjoy going up, visiting the Adirondacks, 130 miles of trails with 10,000 acres. And Jim just sounds like a lot of fun and a lot of things to see and do up there. So we appreciate
it. Trip.
Yeah, we appreciate Jim being on the call with us tonight. We're not doing too well with our trail trivia tonight, so that's probably a tougher question than I thought it was, but we've got just a few minutes left, and again, if you can call in and let us know who the first woman to ride on horseback across North America alone is, then we'll send you a beautiful gift pack from Espana Silk.
Give the year.
Huh?
Give the year that she rode.
Well, she started a ride on my birth date, September 1st, but the year was 1910. And it was really interesting. We're not going to give the answer. We may use this again another time. But this young lady started this trip on a bet that she made with Buffalo Bill. And so an interesting lady and first woman to ride on horseback across North America alone. And she started that ride on September 1st, 1910 in San Francisco and ended up in New York.
Alone. She crossed that with her thoroughbred. And she's got some grit. That gal's got some grit.
She had some grit. Well, Tina May, tell us one more time about our Legacy Club.
Oh, our Legacy Club for our members. It's kind of our way of saying thank you to everybody out there. It is free. There's no third-party sharing of your information. All you do is you jump on equestrianlegacy.net and you go on to the Legacy Club, join us, and you're automatically entered in all these free drawings.
Right, and so again, our winner
and
tonight.
And this month is a Savvy 2-horse Highline kit from Camp with Horses.
All right, well, that's a great item, and that Highline is a super, super item. I think you've used it. And so that is our September contest, and this month's winner was Cindy Kern from Ohio, and she won a great portable fire ring from the shop made right here in the USA out in Texas. So that was Cindy Kern, and congratulations to her. And so we encourage you to visit our website, shop with our Legacy Club sponsors. They've got great discounts for you just for being a Legacy Club member. And again, you're automatically entered in our monthly and our year-end drawing for our Legacy Club members. Fun show tonight. Jim McGarvey is always interesting, always great information, the chairman of Backcountry Horsemen of America. We encourage folks to get involved with that organization, visit their website, and always good information that you can find there. We'd encourage you to visit our website, equestrianlegacy.net, because we have some great information on events that are coming up. There's some charities that we support and some rides that are coming up pretty soon that we're going to be telling you about a little bit later. And Tina May, who do we have coming next Tuesday night to join us?
Next week we got Robert Eversole, the Trailmeister, and then Chuck and Kay Golden from Golden Hills in Raymondville, Missouri.
All right, so we're going to go to Missouri.
And I just want to tell the riders out there, you know, I just want to kind of close on this, that to be aware and to pay attention to what's going on with your trails out in your area.
Good advice. Good advice. And we want to remind folks that that this Thursday on Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe, tickled to death to have Dave Stamey join us. He is a multi-award-winning singer and songwriter. The guy is a real cowboy, so we're going to talk a little bit with Dave about his horse experience. He's worked on dude ranches and has a small cattle operation himself, but just a super talented singer, and we're looking forward to talking with Dave on Thursday. And we also are going to be talking with Marietta Gambrill from South Carolina. This young lady has spent over 70 years helping horse people become better horse people. So we're going to be talking with Marietta on Thursday as well. And then we have a very special show that's coming up on Thursday, September the 11th. And that is Equestrian Legacy. Equestrian Legacy Radio, Salute to America, My Country Under God. We'll feature R.W. Hampton. Craig Cameron will be joining us. We're going to be talking with Jim Hutchins from Washington about a family retreat for our warriors that he has there, and a couple of folks that are close to you, Tina May. Who are
Sam
they?
Sam Hubbard and Aunt Sal. Mm-hmm.
Sam Hubbard, who has been doing the One Nation ride, and then Matt Luttrell, who's doing the Long Trail Home. So we're going to talk about the purpose for what these fellas have been doing to help our veterans. It's going to be a great show, and that is on September 11th at noon Central Standard Time. So we've run out of time tonight, Tina May. A great show.
Yes, we did.
We appreciate all of our listeners. And we remind everyone, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
be ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride. Thanks for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America.
The lightning and heard the thunder. It's not that I don't want you around, but this time I'm not gonna drag you under. Take a better ride before it rains. Think I better saddle up my fastest pony. I can feel a storm moving this way. before.